So is everybody from Canada except for me then?
Nope, TCC fan is from Oregon.
Yeah, America.
America! America, yeah!
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 89 for Wednesday, November 20th, 2013. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I get together to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me this week is none other than TCC regular, Mr. Joel Kane. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Always a pleasure, man. What have you been up to since the last time we have had you on the show?
Something pretty interesting, I think you'll find. I went on a date with a girl last weekend.
Ooh.
And she skateboards, and I used to skateboard, and I was like, well, dang, we're talking about all this skateboarding, it makes me want to skateboard again. So I went out and bought a skateboard last night, and they have a mini ramp inside the shop, so I got to try it out, and man, as soon as I stepped on it, I was like, this was a good purchase. I missed this so much.
Oh, cool.
So I'm having a blast.
Nice. It's one thing I never did. I never did with skateboard.
Yeah, it's one of those things you either do it or you don't do it. There's like no like, oh, maybe I'll try it out. You know,
yeah.
Not many people do the trying out part of skateboarding. Either do it or you don't.
Yeah. Well, I think I had one when I was 10, but that's like pre-serious skateboards.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just like everybody kind of has one with like a Ninja Turtle on the bottom of it or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But for me, it was just too much work to get around. So
yeah, it can be, but yeah, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, and there was no skate parks around here at the time. No one I knew had a ramp, and Dartmouth, where I live, is hilly. So you're just constantly just like either going way too fast, you know, down a sidewalk, or you're picking the damn thing up and going uphill. So to me, a bike was always the better choice. And I probably had a bike right up until I think it got stolen around when I was 16 when I got my driver's license. At which point I didn't replace it because, well, who wants to bike somewhere when you can drive?
Oh, that was pretty good timing.
Yeah,
least.
No, it worked out. It worked out. But yeah, I was not a big skateboard kid. No, it was popular though. There was a lot of people that were skateboarding. Yeah. So what did you, when you were into it, like when did you give it up?
I think I started in junior high and gave it up around freshman year or sophomore year of high school. Well, basically, I started skateboarding because all my friends did, and then I was like, man, this is a heck of a lot of fun. I'm glad that you guys got me into this.
Yeah.
And then they started smoking pot and quit skateboarding. And I'm not really sure why the two are related, but when they started smoking pot, they also stopped skateboarding, so I'm assuming that the two are related somehow.
Yeah.
And so when they quit, I was like, well, I'm not going to do this by myself. That's not nearly as much fun. So it went by the wayside.
Right, so you'll notice I buried the lead and didn't ask you how your date went and put you on the hot spot, which I'm not doing. I'm just teasing.
No, it went well. It was cool.
Cool. Well, it's always nice to have like a mutual interest.
Yeah, you know, definitely. And this is actually a girl that I knew from junior high and high school, so we had a lot in common going into it.
Nice, very,
so,
very cool.
Yeah, it made it a little easier.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, speaking of, I guess things that are. I would say our lady friends. I mean, I have a long-term girlfriend, so it's okay. I can call her that. that they're into, that we are now into, because we like to support what they do. Hearthstone is what I have been up to. When I've had a few spare minutes to myself, I have been playing Hearthstone, which, if you don't know, is a card game put out by Blizzard. It's in beta right now, soon to be open beta, we hope. But Jocelyn is very into it. She does a podcast called The Angry Chicken on Amove TV about just this game, which isn't even an official game yet. Like, it's in beta. You know, it's
right.
not publicly available to everybody. So we've been playing a lot of that, and that's been dominating some of our, dinner conversation here and there, bus conversation on the way home tonight, like stuff like that. But I've been enjoying it. It's been fun. It's nice to have something. It's nice to have a video game that I can play for 5 or 10 minutes and not feel like I have to spend all day playing.
Definitely.
Some of the other things that I have. Well, for example, I just took the plunge to suspend my Warcraft account because I kept it long enough to play the Extra Life stuff that Jocelyn and Ryan were doing for their marathon and raising money for charity for the Gamers Inn. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it a little, but I took very careful note of what I was doing before and after that marathon, and it was nothing fun, and it was nothing that I needed to do. It's nothing that I couldn't just log in later on sometime next year and just catch up. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And this is honestly a good time to take a break if you're planning on picking it up again, because we're basically at the end of this expansion. So
yeah,
there's not a lot more is going to happen until the new expansion comes out.
Yeah, and I've been in Warcraft now for another, I think it's been almost 2 years since Justin and I started playing, and I've started to notice that pattern. This is the first time that I've been endgame. Like, I've always kind of left off like at 50 or 60 or whatever, where everybody else is at like, you know, 70, 80, 90. So this is the first time I've had a level 90 where I've completed a good chunk of the content, or other people have completed it ahead of me and I don't have anybody to play with. But right. on my own, like questing, my options are farm mats and buy stuff, or like level an alt and do dailies, and just that to me does not appeal. If I had a regular raid team, I probably wouldn't even be considering suspending the account. Like, I would.
Well, you're in AIE, right?
I am, but a lot of those people have already gone through the content, and we've struggled, both Joss and I, to find a group that's available that's willing to do the content spoiler free. Like, a lot of people are okay with running the content, but they just want to slam through it to try to get the gear.
Yeah.
You know, and now that the Timeless Isle is out, we don't really have, like, there's not a lot of gear in dungeons that's like enticing people, you know? So you have to find the lore nerds and the friends that just want to hang out with you and the people that have done it before, but really don't mind going through it again. And everybody seems to have just a bunch of life stuff. Fall always seems busy for people.
That's true.
Yeah, and we've had some friends that have had babies and people that are, you know, have other things going on in their lives that are just taking a little bit more of a forefront to their video game time. So, I mean, it'll come around. And, I mean, the great thing about Warcraft is that all my stuff is still there. I mean, like, if I decide to resub in, you know, 2 months' time, then, hey, you know, I just flip the switch and...
It's not going anywhere.
Exactly. I mean, as long as I know a couple days ahead of time, you know, before someone wants to run a raid, then I can just, sure, I can, you know, sub for 15... you know, for a month or for $15 or whatever it is. And I'm also thinking about removing it from my credit card and going with like prepaid cards, like cash only, and just saying like, you know, like, I don't necessarily need this to come out all the time. I want to know, okay, I'm going to buy 3 months. I'm going to play hardcore for 3 months. And when that runs out, I'll make another decision as to whether I need another card or not.
So, yeah, that's what I usually do. That's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, yeah. So, because I'm just, you know, everybody's kind of making those efforts around the holidays to kind of reduce their spending and take a chunk out of the Visa and all that kind of stuff. So I'd rather just kind of have those funds, you know, in my back pocket than going to a game that I'm not spending a lot of time playing. And I do have a bit of a Warcraft fix going on with Hearthstone, because it's Hearthstone
Heroes
of Warcraft.
That's true, it's set in the same universe, yeah.
Same universe, same sort of stuff, you know, like I get, it's a little bit more low-key and all that kind of thing, and there are, I mean, if I get the MMO itch, there's a number of free-to-play MMOs that I can dick around with and see if I like, and there's also a beta coming in December for Wildstar that I'm hoping to, you know, get an invite to, and that would immediately take the place of whatever time I would have for WoW, you know, would be to mess around with that. So I'm just kind of cutting my losses, and I still have a lot of Blizzard content. Like, StarCraft is still free to play, you know, Hearthstone is free to play. So I still have those things to fill up time. Although
let me just throw this offer out there for you. Mm. If you get the itch and you want to do something, but you can't find a group or whatever, let me know. I'm more than willing to run you through anything. I mean, it's assuming that it's something we can do without 10 or more people, you know, I am. Yeah. More than happy to jump in and help you out. Or
cool.
I'm even running with a team right now that does flex raids, and they're basically like, anybody can join, but the only downside is that it's only Siege of Orgrimmar. Their flex raid isn't available for the earlier raids, so
yeah,
you'd be skipping some stuff. But if that's something you want to do, just let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, man. And I'll pass it on to Jocelyn as well, because, I mean, she's not suspending her account. She's still very much into WoW. She's been playing more Hearthstone lately just because it's new, it's shiny, and she's doing a new podcast about it. So, I mean, obviously she has to.
Yeah.
If she has very little time, which she has had recently because of a job change for her, she has to spend it playing Hearthstone. Otherwise, she doesn't have a lot to talk about on Monday nights.
Right, right. So, by the way, that podcast is very good. I've listened
to it, just
about every episode. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, they're hilarious. And they cover... Yeah. What I like about it so much is that they cover all the basics. You know, like, Jocelyn comes from a little bit more of a casual play, but serious about it. And then Dills is the stat nerd, and knows a lot of stuff. And then Garrett comes from the, you know, like
he's Magic more the Gathering,
Magic Gathering background. You know, a little bit more serious about Hearthstone, but also from, I don't know what the word is. He's the strategy guy.
Okay.
You know, like he has that. I mean, they're all strategy people, but like he tends to approach it like, I just want to win and, you know, like I want to do it in a certain way. Whereas Jocelyn comes to it like, no, I don't want to copy the pro decks. Like I want to build my own. And
right,
so she's treating it more of a, like a learning thing. And Dills is coming at it like, no, I'm just trying everything, you know,
yeah.
Seeing what spaghetti sticks to the wall and then reporting on it in my spreadsheet, which is amazing.
Which is exactly what he does.
Crazy, crazy amount of information that guy has, you know, like it's a really good show. The only criticism that I've teased them about is that it's a little bit long. it takes a couple hours for me to get through an episode, but it's all just really good content. And
yeah, I mean, it is long, but you can always skip the chatter at the beginning and move straight into the strategy. Well, and that's, I mean,
and it just goes to show that they're all super passionate. You get three passionate people about this game, which means they just can't shut up about it for two hours,
right?
Which is really funny. So I'll poke Garrett in the ribs and just tell him that he has to move the show along. I know that Jocelyn has done the same sort of thing. I'm like, come on, guys, we've got so much to talk about. We have to keep going. it's funny to kind of be here, of course, in the house when she's casting with him, because, you know, I get the like 1/3 of the conversation.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell she's getting real quiet. So they must be talking about Magic or Dills and Garrett are just going on some crazy tangent and just waiting for Jocelyn to lay the smack down and be like, you know, steer the train back on the tracks. It's pretty funny. But yeah, everybody should go check it out. It's amove.tv/TAC is a quick way to get a look at what's going on over at the Angry Chicken. What else have I been doing? I drew a comic about Hearthstone, which is up on the website right now if you haven't checked it out.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Thanks for Mike in the chat room for reminding me to plug my own stuff. but yeah, it's I had a lot of fun making the comic this week, especially with something as timely as Hearthstone. It's nice to be able to kind of like put whatever other story I had on the burner for a week and just kind of throw out something that was kind of from the gut. And by from the gut, I mean, I got my ass kicked all weekend in Hearthstone. I did not win a thing. So
yeah, happens to me a lot.
Yeah. So it's very much a autobiographical Hearthstone story. And anybody that's played someone with a Murloc deck, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, anybody else that's got no idea what a Murloc is or what, you know, we're talking about is just like staring cross-eyed at their iPod right now going, what the hell is he talking about? So anyway, it's a good,
it's really annoying. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really annoying. So anyway, we can, I guess, jump on over to movies, TV and video. And you've got a couple of picks here that are quite interesting to talk about. So I want to hear what you have been watching this week, sir.
Okay. First one I watched was White House Down. It's got Channing Tatum and now I forget his name, the guy who played the president. But anyway, it was one of those movies that's just a lot of fun. There's lots of explosions, lots of shooting. Not really a super compelling story, but it was a lot of fun. Kind of some buddy cop elements to it. But
this is the one where the White House is taken over by Korean terrorists, right?
Yes, the White House gets taken over, and it's actually really similar to the one Gerard Butler is in, but it's got a more...
Oh my God, I totally got them confused. I tweeted out that we were going to talk about Gerard Butler, and this is not it at all.
Oh, well, we mentioned him, so I guess you're cool.
Yeah, you know? this is a completely different movie.
Yeah, it's very similar, but this is much more lighthearted. It's meant to have funny moments. The Gerard Butler one is a lot more serious.
It is very serious. That's a good action movie, actually.
It is pretty good. But this one was, I enjoyed White House Down simply because it was fun. Mm. I hadn't seen a fun action movie in a long time, not since like Iron Man and those kind of superhero movies.
Right.
So it was a nice, refreshing change of pace for me.
Right. Jamie Foxx is the other actor.
That's right, Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. So does he play the president?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't remember who the president was in... Oh, it was the guy that played Two-Face in Batman.
Oh, yeah, the Harvey Dent guy.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what that guy's name is.
Yeah,
I'm terrible at this kind of trivia.
I used to know all this kind of stuff, you know, but that's why we do this standing in front of computers, because it makes it a lot easier to try to look stuff up while you're on a podcast. I liked Olympus Has Fallen is the name of the Gerard
That's
Butler movie.
That's what it's called, yeah.
And it's not... Aaron Eckhart is the guy that plays the president. Morgan Freeman is the guy that plays like the secretary, and he ends up stepping up because he's not in the White House when it gets taken over. He's somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So the president is prisoner, and Morgan Freeman has to kind of take on all the duties of the president. And it sounds like it's a very similar movie.
They are extremely similar. I mean, the same sort of thing happens. You know, the president is missing in action, basically. So somebody else has to step up, and you know, I guess the vice president steps up, and you know, it's very similar. A lot of the same kind of plot points happen, but one is a lot more serious, and one is more upbeat.
Yeah, I watched a movie a little while ago with Channing Tatum in it, and I was quite pleasantly surprised. I think it was called Iron Eagle. It was about a regiment in the Roman Empire that lost their sigil in what would now be Britain. And his quest to reinstate the honor of this regiment and retrieve the eagle from it was their sigil that they used to march into battle with. And I was like, all right, whatever, period piece. Like, I'll give it a couple minutes to see if it grabs me. And it was actually well done. And he is a better actor than his silly name gives him credit for. Like, it's so funny how you just kind of get these impressions in your mind of like these teen actors and the kinds of movie that they do, and like they're just kind of out there putting their name everywhere.
Yeah
Because he's done like dance movies and like all kinds of bunch of like romantic comedy teen drama stuff. But he can actually hold his own as
he's not bad
lead.
At all,
which I was impressed because he was serious and he was, you know, I don't know, is he British, do you know?
I don't think he is, but again, I'm bad at this kind of trivia.
Right. So, because if he isn't, then he did a pretty damn good job, you know, putting on a bit of an accent, you know, for stuff. I don't know why they make all Roman soldiers British, but you know, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
It seems like everything that is set in the past or way in the future is always British.
Well, yeah, I think that's how it started off with Star Wars. Like the Empire is all
all
British folks. So, which, I mean, maybe that's just a really old idea from like being modeled after the British Empire, or the not the British Empire, the Roman Empire and all the other movies and stuff like that. So
yeah, who knows?
Cool. So what else is going on in the home theater world?
Oh, I watched another movie actually the same night as White House Down, cause I didn't feel like going to bed yet. It's called Now You See Me. I had never heard of it before, but it's got a lot of names that you'll recognize, and I'm going to stall just a second while I bring it up on IMDb.
I got you covered.
I can't remember.
Oh, this is the one with Jesse Eisenberg, Common, Mark Ruffalo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was an interesting movie. I mean, it wasn't a good movie in my opinion, but it was kind of fun to watch. It wasn't good in the sense that there is almost no character development and the story is very straightforward, but it is about magic. It's kind of in the same vein as The Prestige, but not nearly as good as The Prestige, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, the Prestige was really good.
Yeah, Prestige was phenomenal. But, I mean, it's a fun movie. I mean, if you got, like, a couple hours to kill and you don't really know what you want to watch, yeah, maybe just throw it in.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole premise seemed to be, like, The Prestige meets like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, you're right. It does have a lot of that vibe.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's weird because the main characters are these four magicians and you don't actually spend a lot of time. I guess actually the main character is the detective who's investigating them. It's not a spoiler to say that there's an FBI agent investigating them, because that's the whole point of the movie is they, I won't say that. I'll let you figure it out, because it's a fun part of the movie. But an FBI agent is investigating them, and he's the main character. But there's not really any character development. He's just pissed off the whole time. Like he doesn't evolve as a character or as a person or anything. But it is kind of fun. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it if you're looking for something good. But like I said, if you got a couple hours to kill and you got no other ideas, well, I might not throw it in.
Yeah, I'm familiar actually. Michael Kelly plays the FBI agent, and you're right. He plays a lot of very angry men on TV.
Yeah, he seem to be typecast like that.
Yeah, he was in the Netflix House of Cards with Kevin Spacey. He plays Kevin Spacey's kind of like right-hand man. he's basically
oh, is that him?
Yeah, he's basically the enforcer. Like he's
he looks so different in those in this movie compared to that.
Yeah, no, he just seems to be pretty pretty. I don't want to say one-sided, but
That's actually shows his breadth as an actor, because he actually plays a pretty different character in this movie than he does in House of Cards.
Oh, cool!
I didn't realize that was the same guy.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, I've not seen this, but I'm just kind of going by the IMDb page. I mean, and I mean anything with Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine in it, I kind of want to see it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there is that.
Yeah, yeah. They and they're obviously, since they're fantastic and everything, they're very good in the movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah, cool. No, that sounds, I mean, at least worth a rental. Or was it on Netflix in the States?
I think I rented it on Google Play.
Right on.
So
God, you guys have access to so much more stuff.
Oh, you guys don't have Google Play?
No, no. There's a lot of restrictions for the cross-border copyright stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't have Hulu, Amazon Prime. Well, I mean, we'd have Amazon Prime in terms of like the free shipping stuff, but I don't think we get any other benefits like no streaming video.
Right. Vudu? You heard of Vudu?
Heard of it, but again, don't have it. We can get BoxyBox, Roku, all the set-top boxes are available, but the only thing you can really do on them is just like Vimeo, YouTube, Netflix. And for me, we've got an Apple TV, which is, so it's got iTunes. And that's how we rent most of the movies, which is fine. Cause I mean, iTunes usually allows us to rent just about anything that's like available to rent, you know, North America wide.
Anywhere else. Yeah.
But the streaming stuff, the limitations are pretty high on Netflix. Although I just found out that, Doctor Who, the new one, is now, like from 2005 on, 2005 to 2012. I think they're all on Netflix now in Canada, which is awesome.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes, because I've never seen them. And Joss and I have been losing nerd cred by the minute for every convention or every situation we go to where we have not seen these. So we're going to try.
That's all right. You want to know how many episodes I've seen? Three. You want to know which episodes they were? First three ever created.
Oh, God. Yeah, my dad used to watch it in the 70s when I was a kid, and I remember it being pretty cheesy, and I'm sure it hasn't changed.
Yeah, it was very cheesy.
Yeah, but if you go into it knowing, like, if you're not going into it expecting, like, a serious, you know, sci-fi story, then I think that we can go into it with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, and it might be good, because we do keep up to speed now with The Walking Dead, and that can be a pretty serious show, so it's nice to have something a little bit more more colorful, you know, to go check it out. Apparently, we've got some fans of Doctor Who in the chat room. We were instructed to stop recording and go watch Doctor Who right this minute.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess I'll talk to you later.
Would make for a pretty boring podcast. Just record myself watching Doctor Who.
Right.
Actually, if you want a really boring podcast, record myself watching this week's episode of The Walking Dead. Man, that was slow. I will not get into any spoilers in case people have not caught up on it. It was just really effing slow. And I hope they redeem themselves. They've got like one episode before I'm just going to be like, oh God, it's going to be like season two all over again. So
I must play too much Warcraft. I haven't seen any of these shows.
Yeah. Walking Dead is worth catching up on. This one past episode, you saw it coming a mile away with the ending of last week, and you just kind of knew that they were going to break and do something a little bit away from the story that they were following, which was so interesting. Yeah. And they've decided to just, you know, go in a different direction. So I'm curious as where they're going to do, what they're going to do for like the mid-season break, but we'll have to just kind of, I'll hold all judgment until the first half of the season is over. So on a whole, I'm enjoying it, but for the most part, this last episode kind of bored me to tears. But in something that is completely not related to The Walking Dead, Jocelyn and I have been taking in some lighter entertainment because of like just job shifting and wanting to relax on a Sunday. She doesn't work weekends anymore, so we can actually sit down and watch movies where normally we just have, you know, moments to watch, you know, an episode of television here and there. We were checking out Rise of the Guardians on Netflix. And if you're not familiar, this is a pretty sure it's a DreamWorks movie. And it's where all of the holiday icons like Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Sandman are all superheroes. And they're protecting the children of the world from nightmares and evil. And
interesting.
Yeah, and the Rise of the Guardians is kind of alluding to an additional guardian that they have to bring into their ranks in order to combat the rise of the boogeyman, who's the bad guy for the movie. And Jack Frost is the guardian of choice, chosen by the moon to join, or I guess the man in the moon, to join the Guardians. And they get a lot of points for taking a really original kind of screenplay.
Yeah.
And taking a hack at it. You know, like, it is, it's very fluffy. It's very lovey-dovey, believe in me. That's where we get our powers, the belief of young children and all that kind
mm-hmm,
of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not Madagascar 7. You know, like, they're not just kind of milking an existing property. But I really wasn't satisfied with this movie at all. And, I mean, it was entertaining. It's not like I would have been pissed off walking out of the movie theater had I gone to pay and see it. But I found that it was just full of a lot of shortcuts. Like, the animation felt really watery to me. Everything was just too appealing, if that makes any sense.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, they could have gone to some more extremes. Or I feel like it's almost like they went really extreme with some characters and not nearly extreme with the others. So, for example, Santa Claus, not really a stretch. He's a big fat guy with a white beard.
Right.
They make him Russian, which is kind of cool. So he has a funny accent and he speaks. He's got a very robust personality. He's very jolly. Surprise, surprise. But he battles with like two like scimitars. There's like pirate swords.
Really?
Yeah. But he doesn't actually ever hit anyone with them. So it's like, all right, well, so you've bladed Santa Claus and I did, yeah, okay, you know, sure, whatever.
Just like, check out my moves.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all I do.
Yeah. So the Easter Bunny is larger than life, is quick like a ninja, quick like a rabbit, voiced by Hugh Jackman, and has boomerangs. So, and he's kind of a grumpy bugger. So at least that, like in a cartoon, like you can throw boomerangs and knock people out and still be pretty PG, you know, right?
Like,
you
yeah.
There's no stabbing involved. You're just kind of like bashing people with wood.
Not like you're cutting someone's carotid or something.
Yeah, exactly. And the Tooth Fairy, which was a very unique and very appealing design, was more like a hummingbird. So she had a really fun personality. She was very talkative, very fast, a lot of flitting around, and is always talking about teeth and looking at people's teeth, kind of getting in their personal space and that kind of stuff. All that kind of personality was cute. But it just got so sugary sweet that it didn't have any gravitas to it. The villain, which was the Boogeyman, was very similar in terms of his powers to Sandman. And Sandman was this cute little sack of sand that would fly around and give children good dreams. And it's just this yellow sand. And the bad guy, the Boogeyman, would give them nightmares. So he had black sand.
Okay.
And he was very, I don't want to, it sounds funny, but he was very attractive as a cartoon character. Like, he had some interesting features, some whiskey black hair, but for the most part, he had kind of like big eyes, small mouth, bigger but moderate nose. Like, he was not at all the kind of character, like, you want the Boogeyman to look like the Wicked Witch of the West. You know, you want him to look,
right.
You know, like, I mean, pick any kind of horror movie, you know, spiritual villain, and just kind of dumb it down for a cartoon. You don't necessarily need to make it
cute.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be cute. And because of that, he really didn't feel all that threatening. They had some moments, and it was a good point that Jocelyn brought out, is that they had some moments where he was looking very normal, but then they would do something where he would get very dark and sinister and his eyes would flare, and it would kind of transform him a little bit, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Like, he should have been pointy. I mean, like, I feel like instead of all the sand powers that were just the same as the Sandman's, he should have had, like, black shadow powers. They could have done all the same kind of animation with tendrils and things grasping at good dreams and turning them evil, but it would have been cool if it had been two-dimensional, you know, like shadows and, you know, I'm thinking about, like, the old Peter Pan movie, you know, from the 60s, that kind of stuff. And it just didn't really hold enough weight with me.
It sounds like they didn't contrast the classic black versus white very well.
No,
you're saying.
Yeah, they didn't. And I feel like, you know, like, the most interesting character was the Sandman, because he didn't talk. He just had like these little symbols that would appear above his head, like a Warcraft quest, right? And everything would just be related to what he was trying to say. It gets someone's attention. It would be like a light bulb or a boxing glove or something. And it was cute. Yeah. But he ended up being like taken out in beginning of act two by the villain, and you don't see him again till the end. It's like, well, he was the most interesting guy, you know, like, it suffered from a lot of little things. I mean, Jocelyn liked it, a lot of people really enjoyed it, but I, again, it got points for trying to be original, but it ended up just not having enough of an arc as a story. I didn't get invested in the kid that was in it. I didn't really... Jack was appealing, and when we were at Halcon, Jocelyn and I saw so many people cosplaying as Jack Frost. Guys, girls, it was all over the place. And I really? Get that, because he was a very appealing character. I mean, he's a, you know, handsome, kind of like young 20s looking guy that can fly and turns things into frost, and he has a backstory, and you're trying to figure out, like, he doesn't remember who he was before he was a guardian and all this kind of stuff. And he's voiced by, I want to say Chris Evans, the new Kirk from the new Star Treks.
Okay, yeah.
I think I got that name wrong, but it's you know, I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got a very appealing voice, but he also has a very distinct voice. And that was the other issue that I had with this movie, is that as soon as the Easter Bunny opens up his mouth, it's Hugh Jackman. You yeah. can't get anything else out of your head. And as soon as
it draws you right out of the movie.
Yeah. And then as soon as Frost opens up his mouth, I immediately knew that it was the guy from Star Trek. So I was like, well, okay, sure. You know, that Chris Pine. Thank you, Sam,
there
in
you
the
go.
Chat room.
Chris
Much
Pine,
appreciated.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was close.
close, yeah.
So yeah, it was okay. I don't want to say it was a bad movie, but out of 5 stars, I probably gave it like a 2 or a 3. It didn't really speak to me. And I should say that some of it, I have to admit, was probably coded by a poor Netflix experience. There was a good chunk of the first part of the movie where there were some visual artifacts happening whenever the sound would get really loud.
Yeah.
So then I have to say, well, how much of my analytical view of the animation is being skewed by Netflix either not syncing the sound or things not looking right technically? And the 5.1 surround mix on this was horrible. Like, we had to turn it up just to kind of hear people, and then something would explode and it would kind of blow us out of our chair. And I didn't find it that engaging. It didn't really suck you in. So
yeah, that's always a bummer when movies do that. I hate that. I've got a really nice sound system, but the problem is that I can't turn the bass down very far. For some reason, the lowest bass setting is still kind of punchy.
Hmm.
So when I'm watching movies with big booms, I'm constantly adjusting the sliders on my mixer to turn the volume up and down so I'm not blowing away my neighbors.
It's always a concern, right? I mean, when you're living in an apartment building, it kind of gets difficult to have a really robust, you know, home theater. We're lucky in that our neighbors downstairs are deaf as doornails. So
that helps.
You know, and we don't really watch movies much later than like 10 o'clock. So, I mean, they're over by midnight at the very latest.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that doesn't bug anybody. And again, it's usually on weekends. So, like, you know, Saturday night, you really can't complain when your neighbors are making noise at 11 and then, you know, not an hour later.
Right. Yeah. Nobody really cares at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other movie that I watched was in stark contrast to Rise of the Guardians. I have had Disney Pixar's Brave on Blu-ray here in the apartment for quite some time, and we just never got around to watching it. Mostly because I think I have to update the firmware on my Blu-ray, but it doesn't seem the issue with the Blu-ray player does not seem to affect most CG movies. Cartoons seem to look just great. It's more dark things like Batman and a couple of other things that have some artifacts that we're having issues with. But long story short, I've had this for a while. It was a Christmas gift from Jocelyn last year. It arrived a little bit late because she was mailing it all over the globe. Scott Johnson signed it.
So cool.
I've got this signed copy of Pixar, which is amazing. Because this is where we really get a chance to meet Scott and hang out with him, was at the Brave screening at Nerdtacular 2012. So it's got it's got such a nice, you know, sentimental, you know, value to it.
Definitely.
And it's also a kick-ass movie.
Is it really?
To watch it, like, you watch it and you think it's good in the theater, like, you walked out of it going, wow, that was so cool and so well done. And then you watch another animated movie, and then you watch Brave. And it really kind of points out all the shortcomings. And it's not like it's a giant hole in Rise of the Guardians. It's just a lot of little things that kind of add up that don't really sit well with me. And Pixar's Brave, it's an incredible film. It is a great story, and it's an original story, which is, I know it was a book previously, but, like, again, they get points for it not being Toy Story 3 or, you know,
right,
Monsters University or anything like that. Like, they're building a brand new thing. It's got such a great female protagonist and such a great story. I mean, if I was a parent, I would love that a daughter would be into this movie. It's such a strong, strong character arc. They have fantastic dynamic animation in everything that they do.
That makes a huge difference.
Something I found, like, I mean, I'm kind of nerding out on an animation side here, but like a lot of the stuff in, I want to say like in Rise of the Guardians, was like Santa's beard was kind of like, it just seemed to like move on its own, like in reaction to what he was doing. And, yeah. You know, there were other things like the Sandman's stuff or, you know, the stuff that the Tooth Fairy would do that seemed a little bit more deliberate. So they struck me as stronger characters. And that's the thing with Brave, is that everything was done with purpose. You know, like, even though there are some like physics stuff addressed to capes and cloaks, and her hair is just like crazy incredible. But what they've done with her hair is, you know, a good portion physics, but then there's a couple of strands that you can just know are animated just so. Like they're supposed to land in her face in just the right spot at just the right moment to give her just that right look. And it's all kind of thrown into this immersive world with incredible layouts. I mean, the rendering looks incredible. I'm using a lot of buzzwords, but just everything from an artistic standpoint, this film is just the epitome of what an animated film should be to me. And if you haven't seen it on Blu-ray at home, if you have the capability of seeing this in high def, it is just as amazing as it was in theaters. If anything, I just wish I had a bigger TV, because when they do these sweeping views of what is probably supposed to be like Scotland and kind of like that kind of area, it's just breathtaking. And I remember it being like that in the theaters as well. And so it was just as good on home video. I have not looked at the special features yet, but I'm sure they are just as cool. As Mike mentioned in the chat room here, Pixar is still king. And it's really hard to kind of hold a candle to Pixar when they do it right. I'm not saying they're perfect all the time, but when they hit it out of the park, there's just nothing that compares.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. I'm going to have to check it out. That one passed me by for whatever reason.
It doesn't have that universal appeal from the outside. It's got something for everybody once you're watching it, but it doesn't have, like, when you see a movie like, you know, Monsters, Inc. or Toy Story 3 or what's another one that I think was probably pretty well received? The Incredibles.
How to Train Your Dragon,
not Pixar, but again, has that.
Oh, that
kind
wasn't
of,
Pixar?
No, that was DreamWorks. But I mean, again, has that whole appeal. Like, just, there's a whole lot of people that think, oh, yeah, there's got to be some moments in this movie for me from the outside. Brave kind of just, it had a very somber promotional train, which is good because it fits the movie, but it's like Wall-E, you know, like there's a lot of people that think Wall-E is boring as sin. And I think it's brilliant, you know, so it's a hard sell to get people in the door sometimes in terms of, you know, comparing to other Pixar movies, but it's really, really worth checking out. And I'm sure it's available for rent, you know, on whatever streaming device.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a Blu-ray player, but I will have to check it out.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to watch it on the biggest screen you've got, just because it does do it justice to put it up on something really high def.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah. So what has been in your earbuds this week?
I've been listening to a ton of Critical Hit. It's a podcast where they basically go through a Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
Okay.
But the typical knee-jerk reaction when I explain this to people in person is, that sounds really, really boring. Like, who wants to listen to other people play a role-playing game? But it's surprisingly entertaining. The Dungeon Master is a masterful storyteller, and he is very forgiving with the rules. So, like, if somebody's like, oh, no, I just completely didn't understand that I could do this, he'll be like, oh, you know what, let's just let it slide. You can go ahead and do it anyway. You know, so things like that. And they do a good job of kind of drawing you into it, and at the beginning there's 2 minutes of here's what happened last time and, you know, all that good stuff. And nice. They're very aware that they're being recorded, and like they'll cut out 15 minutes of nothing but goofing around, you know, so it's very much the campaign that you're getting. But they are they're all very funny, though. I mean, they're always making these out of character jokes, and every once in a while somebody will say something that's a complete anachronism, which, if you don't know what that word means, it's something that exists in a time where it's not supposed to. So there's the times when Stephen Schleicher, this is a major spoilers production.
I was just about to confirm with you that it was a major spoiler show.
Yeah, it is major spoilers. And Stephen Schleicher had never played Dungeons and Dragons before they started this. So he's always got a lot of questions, and he'll say something in character that just doesn't make sense in the Dungeons and Dragons universe. Although poke fun at him a little bit, and it's pretty entertaining. I recommend at least checking it out.
Very, very cool.
Don't start if you're not sure about it. Don't start with the first one or two episodes, I think, because that's a lot of what is D&D and how is the game played kind of stuff.
Okay.
I think it's the third episode where they actually start the storyline. So if it's something you're not sure about, maybe start with episode 3 or maybe 4. I can't remember exactly, but the show title should let you know. So
nice. Very, very cool. I have not listened to a lot of Major Spoilers shows. I listened to Steven on Comic Dorks with Scott Johnson, Scott Kurtz, and Mark Spagnuolo. But I have yet to dive into some of the other ones on Critical Hit. But Jocelyn and I played, it wasn't D&D, but it was a tabletop adventure very similar, set in the Star Wars universe at Nerdtacular this year. So we've been looking for an opportunity to play a tabletop game, but we don't have a lot of people around here that are into it. So this might scratch that itch.
Yeah, at least give you that. Yeah, at least scratch the itch for a little while until you can get into something yourself.
Yeah, right on.
That's why I started listening to it, because our mutual friend Matt and I are trying to put a game together with some of our friends. But it's one of those things where we're like, all right, is everybody available this Saturday? All right, cool, we're going to go. And then like Friday night, somebody's like, hey, guys, something came up. Like, dang
yeah.
it. Another week where we can't play. So
nice.
Yeah, so this is definitely scratching the itch for me.
Cool. Very, very cool. Well, that brings us strongly into the Internet Minute, which is where we share something fun and cool that we have found on the interweb over the last week. And I have got a doozy this week. I have been waiting all show to share this with everyone in the chat room and at home. This is dogs shaking their heads after being wet in slow motion.
Awesome.
It sounds silly, but you have to go to demilked.com. And search for this. It's pretty hot. It's all over the web right now. So if you search for it or find the link in our show notes, you will find it. Not only is there a series of stills that are hilarious being made into a book, but there's a video at the very bottom of the page. And I almost encourage you to scroll to the very bottom really quickly so you don't see the pictures and just watch the video first. It is absolutely priceless to see this high-speed video of these dogs. And of course, they grab dogs like bulldogs, bull mastiffs, boxers, anything that has deep jowls that just flop all over the place. They've got some puppies in there too. They've got some, I think they're pit bull puppies. They've got some longer haired dogs, some Shelties, and something that it's a dog that looks like a cross between a poodle and Jimi Hendrix. Like it's just this crazy, crazy hairy dog. There's a sheepdog in there. It is over the top to watch these dogs shake themselves. And the drool is just flying everywhere. And I played this for Jocelyn last night. She had a bit of a rough day at work. And I said, look, before we call it a night, you have to watch this. And I threw it up on the TV. She was losing her mind.
Awesome.
It is very, very fun. Very, very fun video. It's only about 2 minutes long, but worth every last second of it. You know, like share it with everybody you know and get a good smile going around, because it is just absolutely hilarious. The puppies are really cute. I think my favorite is the sheepdog, because you can't see his face. You see a nose and you see a tail, and everything in between is just like a giant mop just rotating in slow motion. It's just all over the place. It's very, very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So what about you? What is your pick this week?
Mine is a bit on the creepy side. It's called Why Are Things Creepy? Go figure. It's a YouTube video. The video itself is a bit creepy because the guy sets it up that way on purpose, you know, kind of theming it to his topic. But it's actually really interesting. It's kind of a look at the psychology behind what creeps you out. So not like what is scary or what is terrifying, but what is it that causes you to just have that little creepy feeling on the back of your neck when you think somebody's standing behind you and things like that. And it's pretty interesting. It's not something I would recommend watching when you're home alone by yourself at midnight and you're about to go to bed or something like that. But I watched it probably about 2 hours ago, and I was a little creeped out for a while. But now that we're doing the show, I'm good. So
I'm glad
it's really interesting,
you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks to be pretty interesting. I'm not a horror fan. I've never been into any of this kind of stuff. That just, you know, if I want to scare the bejesus out of myself, all I have to do is get on a plane.
Right.
And I'm that's
yeah, I'm
it.
Not
that's
much
all
into
I can
horror.
Handle for a few months.
Yeah. I'm not much into horror movies or anything like that, but I do love psychology. And this gets very much into the psychology behind why you get creeped out sometimes. Right. So
are you one of those guys that would watch those like poltergeist TV shows where they go ghost hunting and trying to find things in people's houses?
Sometimes, but those come off as really cheesy to me because I don't believe in ghosts. I believe weird things happen that can't be explained currently, but I don't think it's ghosts and spirits and things like that. Yeah. So I'm not really into that kind of stuff. However, this may surprise you. I love the Saw movies. That is one of my favorite series. Yeah, and it's I don't find them scary. I find them fascinating. Like the fact that this guy has this train of thought that he turns his life to follow this train of thought, and it's morbid and gory, and it's a fascinating look into this guy's mind when you watch the series in its entirety. That's what gets me excited about it. It's not the goriness or the jumpiness or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm very into psychology. So I geek out over the weirdest things.
I learn more about you every time you're on the show.
I know, right?
Yeah. We're not going on vacation together, by the way. Mr. I like the Saw movies. I've never even seen them. I'm just teasing. We tend to prefer psychological thrillers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Justin and I watched Seven as well over the last little while. I won't talk about it tonight, but I'll maybe in the next show. But I hadn't seen that in a long, long time. And those are the kind of horror movies that we tend to prefer, more of the thrillers, which, you know, I mean, there was some blood and guts and gross and stuff in it, but it was more of a whodunit and why than a, you know, just a torture fest.
Right. Yeah. Last House on the Left, not my kind of flick. You know, those kind of things don't do it for me. But
Well, there's a whole genre of horror films out there that are just right up that alley for people. And I just, for whatever reason, I've never been. I mean, some of my friends got into them when we were in high school, and that I just, for whatever reason, was not interested. I mean, I was studying to be an animator, so I mean, maybe that just, you know, the fact that I preferred Disney cartoons was just probably you can't get farther from Disney cartoons than slasher flicks, right?
So, no, you can't.
Exactly. So, I think I might have gone to see Scream when it first came out in theaters with friends and stuff like that, but I mean, that's light as far as a horror movie is concerned. I wouldn't even know where that would fit in what the genre currently is. So, well, that is that's it, folks. That wraps up this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on joelduggan.com/live. Music for the show is composed by Kevin McLeod, and of course, the podcast is available on demand via iTunes and our website, the Citadel Cafe, which is where you will find the show notes and all the cool links to the things that Joel and I talked about this evening. You can drop us a line at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+ with just the show name. The Gamers Inn is a show that is put together by my lovely girlfriend Jocelyn, and she and her co-host Ryan talk about video games every Friday night, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. If you're a gamer and you want to find out what's going on in the world of the new consoles and in gaming news, as well as what Jocelyn and Ryan are playing, please tune in to amove.tv or visit gamersinpodcast.com to find out some more details about what's going on in the Gamers Inn world. And of course, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Monday nights on amove.tv is The Angry Chicken with Garrett Dills and Jocelyn. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I'm up to online at joelduggan.com, including my book, Starcrossed Volume 1, which is available in my web store. And I am currently open for commissions. So if you are looking for a unique Christmas gift to give that special someone, now is the time, because those usually take a week or so to put together. And then, of course, you've got to allow for the good old-fashioned postal service at the holidays. So if you're interested in getting a commission, just stop by the web store and drop me a line. You can find me on Twitter and Google+ with just my name, and that's it. Joel, where can people find you online?
As always, I'm on Twitter at Robut, R-O-B-U-T. And I've actually got something new this time.
Sweet.
YouTube.com/user/TheRobutStudios.
Ooh.
There is nothing on there yet, but just a little 30-second promotion.
Nice.
I mentioned the last one or two times I was on the show that our friend Matt and I are putting together a podcast about kind of the lore and the history of the Warcraft universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to a stopping point where we were going to record, and then we were like, I'm not feeling it. So we're going back to the drawing board and really fleshing it out. We want to do it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, I'm doing my own little personal project where I'm going back with myself and either Matt or our other friend Ben healing me, and I'm doing all the old raid content, and I'm going to talk over the recording with some of the lore and history about the raids themselves. And cool. Those will be up on YouTube. I've got the footage for the first one, but I haven't quite gotten around to editing yet, so I'm imagining it should be up by Friday, hopefully.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Well, this show will go out either tonight or Thursday, so you've committed now. People are going to be
looking
committed. For it.
Yep. yeah. I'm as soon as we get off this call, I'm going to be starting up the learning how to edit in Premiere Pro. So
nice. Well, if I can give you a bit of advice for your other podcast that you want to get off the ground,
sure.
Record it anyway. Don't publish it, but record it. Record 5 or 10 episodes and just send it to a close group of friends. It's the same advice I give artists: is that if you want to start drawing and sharing it, just start drawing and sharing. There's never a better time to just do it. And you'll cut your teeth in a couple of crap episodes, call them prequels, call whatever you want.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to figure out really quickly what's working and what's not after you get it down recorded.
Yeah. I think we're going to do that, but I think the bigger problem was, we weren't 100% happy with where we were starting, on the timeline of the lore.
Mm.
And we were going to record just to have something recorded, like you said, mm-hmm. but I think we realized at the last second there was like a little niggling in the back of our minds, like, this isn't quite structured right. There's something just not right about it. Mm. So we want to do it right the first time. So we'll definitely do that, and I'll send you a copy so you can check it out.
Yeah, I mean, send it to, you know, obviously a few people and get some feedback.
Yeah, definitely.
More than happy to.
Cool.
Cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.